Please open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. That is in the Bible. I'm not just coughing up phlegm, okay? Family camp was amazing. It was so much fun. One of the things that we enjoyed the most was just getting a chance to meet new families, getting a chance to see gifts and talents that people have that have been hidden. Around a campfire and hearing different people singing and playing instruments and, more importantly, just the fellowship. And so we were blessed to have Calvary Chapel Kanab with us. And again, it was just a great time. So for those of you who weren't able to come, pray about the next one. We'd love to have you with us. And again, being blessed by the property that God's given us there. Steve and the guys who are there, Eris and a few others, Pat, as well as a couple of other people who are helping keeping that property up while the summer has been very busy. Now it's coming to an end. And so praise the Lord. Steve's going to be back in October. Okay. Yes. He's well missed and loved. And but it's a blessing to know that Jane is with him. And more importantly, that everything's getting taken care of. And so but yeah, it was a blessing. And so that's an update, and we'll send some pictures out soon. So the other thing I just want to share really quickly before we do get into our study, men, our conference is fastly approaching. And so we want to make sure that you sign up. We don't want you to miss out on this. And listen carefully, if finances are an issue, please come. Talk with me, talk with Pastor Guy. We want to make sure that you come, and we never want finances to hinder anybody from growing in their relationship with the Lord. So please come see us. Don't let your pride get to you. Come and be blessed. And, if you don't want to pay it back somehow, you can work for the rest of the year at the church. No problem, okay? But no, seriously, don't let that stop you. Please come. And we have some other exciting things happening with Ladies Bible Study. You can sign up online. Financial Peace Class, so important. God has blessed us with the resources to help provide this for the whole church, so anybody could be a part of this. So please make sure you sign up, and then you'll get all of the benefits from doing the Financial Peace University classes, videos, just learning how to be better stewards of what God has given us. And so I would encourage you to be on that sign-up sheet and being a part of the class. So here we are, Habakkuk chapter 1. Let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. And I'm going to read the first four verses and then pray. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And will you not hear, even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. Father, we come before you this evening, and we are excited to get into your word. And I pray, Lord, that the time of worship that we've had would not only refresh us, but that it prepared our hearts to receive your word tonight. And I pray that as we go through this portion of scripture, as we begin this new book, that God, you would give us the ability to understand the heart behind it. That it's okay to ask questions when we're struggling. That we don't have to fear you being angry because we ask of things. But I also pray that we would walk away just understanding and knowing that no matter what is happening around us, you will always be in control. So God, give us not only eyes to see your truth tonight, but again, I pray that this would be a time that we are refreshed, built up, and encouraged because of your word. So thank you for blessing us with your presence, with your Holy Spirit that is upon us. God, give us understanding tonight. And may what we learn, we would live. So God, go before us now. This I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as we get ready to start this new book, I just want to give a little bit of a background and then, Lord willing, jump into this portion of Scripture. And we're going to end in chapter 2, verse 1, Lord willing, if time permits. But listen, very quickly, we know that the author is Habakkuk, and very little is known about him. That what we see here in the text is that he is a prophet. And of course, we know that the prophet is one who is God's messenger, who speaks on God's behalf. And this is an official title. In other words, those who were around him during this time recognized him as this messenger of God. It's also believed that he was a Levite who ministered in the temple with music or with singing. You know, I'm so blessed that we as a church have this time of worship before our studies. And I just want to throw this out there to you because on Sunday morning and even for Wednesday night, I know that some of us are coming straight from work and you may be a little late, and that's totally okay. But on days on Sundays when we're not at work, it's important that we get here on time. And the reason why I say that is because the time of worship is not just a filler. It's not just a grace period for you to come so you could hear the word. It is so important that we understand that when we come into this building and we begin in worship, listen, it's an opportunity for us to get our hearts aligned with what we're getting ready to receive, and that's God. You know, we're not singing, you know, Tupac up here. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Right? We're not singing, you know, secular music. You know, it amazes me how secular music has a captive audience when you have people singing of their heartache and it becomes the greatest hit. What's that one lady who has an amazing voice, Adele or whatever? Man, her songs are sad. And yet, it's a number one hit. Everybody can relate to heartache. But the reality is that when we come into this place and we have this time of worship, please listen to the words. If you don't know them, just look at them. Let them sink into your heart because they describe who the God we are worshiping. And if that gets inside of us, if that is something that we focus on and we're able to sing and not only sing, but then sing from a heart that has tasted God's goodness, then it's going to help us to receive what God's getting ready to teach us. Because I don't know about you, but there's some times when there's things in my mind that shouldn't be there. There are things that happen in my day that I just wanted to go away. And I would love for us to be able to just leave them at the door, come in, get fed, and then watch how God will help you when you get out of here.
Amen.
And so please don't avoid it. Don't come late. I don't like the worship. Oh, it's too loud. Listen, we have earplugs. Okay? We have earplugs for you. They're orange in a little tub back there. But just don't ever forget that worship softens and prepares our heart for what we're getting ready to receive. And if Habakkuk was one of those worship leaders, I would imagine he had an amazing voice. But more importantly, he had the ability to draw people to the Lord. The other thing that we know is that his ministry took place during the fall of Nineveh, which was in 612 BC, and also the rise of the Babylonian Empire. Under the leadership of King Nebuchadnezzar, listen, they defeated Assyria and Egypt and were now becoming a threat to Judah roughly around 605 BC. So not only in addition to this threat, the nation of Israel, listen carefully, was going through their own struggles and issues. Under King Josiah, he died in 609 BC. And as God's prophet, Habakkuk witnessed, listen carefully, evil things going on even with God's people. So on both sides of the camp, from outside of other nations, evil and wickedness was happening. And now inwardly, there was stuff going on. God's people were not acting right. Can we relate to that? Because if you don't think so, listen, we have issues in the church too. We're, like I said, we're a dysfunctional family at times. But God helps us work through those things. And so he saw all of these things going on, and it seemed like evil was prevailing. And what also is interesting is that this book is different from all the other minor prophets in that Habakkuk is not speaking to God's people. He's not delivering a message specifically to them. But listen, he is crying out to the Lord, and his cry is that he is confessing, he is questioning, he is confused, and he is a man on a mission to get some answers from God. You know, as we go through this book, it's going to feel like we're reading through his personal journal. Have you ever did that? I hope you haven't. You know, pick up somebody's journal and start reading it. I mean, that's kind of wrong. Yeah, let's just leave it there. But that's what it's going to feel like, because it's a dialogue between him and God. And one of the things that I hope and pray that we would see is that as troubled as he was, this was the bottom issue. He did not understand what God was doing. Now, here's a truth that I want all of us to hear tonight, okay? God will work in ways that we will not always understand. Can I get an amen for that? You guys agree with that?
Amen.
All right. But here's a truth that we need to hold on to. Our understanding is not required, but our trust is. You guys get that? You understand what I'm saying? It is important that we know God can work in ways that he chooses to, and it doesn't need to make sense to us. But what we need to understand is that God is still in control. No matter how ugly things may be, he is working things out. We just can't see it all the time. But he is always at work. All we need to do is trust. And so not only is this something that, again, Habakkuk was going through, but Lord willing, as we walk away from this study, we're going to cover it in three different parts, but that we too would know, listen carefully, this is what I want us to walk away from as we study through this book. Number one, it's okay to take our frustrations and complaints to God. If you're going to complain, if you're going to vent, please, beloved, do it to God. Don't do it on social media. Please don't throw your thoughts out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or whatever, Donkey Kong, whatever you call it. Okay? Don't throw your anger out like that. Take it to the Lord. The second thing I pray that we would understand and know is that God's justice is sometimes a mystery. Again, we don't always know how he's going to work things out, but he will. And the last thing I pray that we would walk away with is this: God is all-powerful and is always in control. These are the main things that I pray we would see throughout this three-chapter book. What is our outline going to look like? Well, we're going to break it off into really two sections. The first one is Habakkuk's complaint from chapter 1 all the way up to the end of chapter 2, verse 20. There's several little sections in there, and it goes something like this. We're going to read from verses 1 to 4, his first complaint toward God. In other words, Lord, I'm troubled and I'm confused. His attention was drawn, listen carefully, by what he saw. He focused so much on what was before him that it caused him to question God. Then we're going to see God's response, verse 5 to 11. And God will answer Habakkuk. And here's what he says. You're really not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. And so then from verse 12 to chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk's second complaint: Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm willing to wait for you to answer me again. In other words, at this point, he stopped looking around and he looked up and began to listen to God. Listen, can I also just throw this at you tonight? When we are crying out to the Lord and we give him everything, can I encourage you, don't just end your prayer and then walk away? Can I encourage you to spend some time in silence so that God can speak? Can I encourage you not just to, you know, go off and then walk away? No, let God minister to your heart. And again, we're going to see it's okay when we're frustrated or angry. Hey, the best thing for us to do is take it to the Lord. But don't just give it to him and then walk away. Let him minister and speak to your heart. Let him give you not only his precious promises, but let him give you his word to know how to handle what you're facing. And then, of course, we're going to see God's response in verse 2 of chapter 2 to verse 20. Then the second part of this letter is Habakkuk's prayer. In other words, listen, he's going to stop complaining and start praising. Not only did Habakkuk look up and believe, but now he's looking ahead. And here is where his doubts, his questions, and his complaints turn into faith. And this is why it's so important that we give God our heart and time for him to speak to us. And so this is kind of the outline that we're going to look at. But again, as we go through it, we're going to break it off into actual three studies. And so as we've already read the first four verses, let's go ahead and jump into verse 1. And it says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Now, the word burden here takes on the meaning of oracles. The words of God that will speak from him, and also the things that he would see. Listen carefully. These things weighed heavy upon his heart. And the first thing that I want to point out is when these troubles do come and when difficulties are before you, because I know that there are going to be some times when you and I are going to face some difficult situations. You know, I don't know if what we just read in the first four verses sounded like Habakkuk was watching the news of today. But when we look at the news and when we look at what's going on, listen, there should be something going on in our heart that would cause us to go, that's not fair. That's not right. If we can watch the news and not be affected by it, then can I just tell you that our hearts have become calloused to the truth? Because God's way is we are to love one another and we're to care for those who don't have the ability to care for themselves. God calls us to even love our enemies, which is definitely a difficult thing to do, but with God, all things are possible. So when we look at what we're seeing here, as God opens up and gives to Habakkuk what he's going to do and the things that he's allowed to see, this is heavy upon his heart. And again, he takes all of these difficulties, what's going on in his heart, and what did he do? He took all of his concerns, all of these troubles and complaints to the Lord and nowhere else. He directed them to the Lord, which again is the best thing for anybody to do. And notice what he says, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. The things he witnessed seem to continue on and on. Listen, have any of you ever experienced not just a bad day, not just a bad couple of days, not even just a bad week, but how about like a bad several months? No, nobody? Okay. Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. But it just feels like you don't get a break. One bad thing, one right after another. And sure enough, this is what he's saying here in verse 2. All of this stuff that is happening, one right after another and after another, there doesn't seem to be like any daylight. This sounds like a bad country song. Okay? God, I'm praying, but I'm not hearing anything. Anybody been there? God, all of this violence that is going on, and we're crying out and asking for protection over the innocent, and they still get hurt or they're still taken advantage of. God, how long are we going to wait for you to respond? This is the actual cry of his heart. If you notice in verse 3, he says, why do you show me all of this iniquity? Why do you cause me to see all of this trouble? Why are you allowing me to see these things? And sure enough, he says, for plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contentions arises. And again, it sounds like Habakkuk's living today. Because isn't it true that we see a whole lot of injustice? Don't we also feel surrounded by corruption and wickedness? Our society is deteriorating right before our eyes. And I'm saying this from my heart to you. Our hearts should be crying out when we see these things. When innocent people are hurt or even killed, there should be something in our heart that confesses, Lord, this is just not right. And it amazes me how today, how powerful a little cell phone is. That it's literally taken away the response of acting and helping to stopping and recording. It bothers me when people post things of the evil that's going on. You know, it wasn't too long ago that I came across, or I was made aware of a video, and I don't want to call them young men because they were probably in their 20s. But there was at least 3 or 4 of them that just felt like it would be a fun thing to do to record them beating up on homeless people. And it wasn't that the homeless people were doing anything to bother them. They would actually go into the camps where they were living, go into their tents, and beat them as they were sleeping. And here they are laughing and giggling and thinking it's the greatest thing ever. And how sickening is that? I don't know if many of you have been watching the news, but a young mom was murdered. It was not too long ago. We see all of this violence happening around us. And it should draw us to that place of praying for people, especially the innocent who are being hurt. And for all this evil that's coming upon our world, I hope and pray that you would realize this is another reason why we have our day of fasting and prayer. Why we have our night of worship and prayer to be praying for these exact things. And I want to invite you to be a part of it. And I hope and pray that you would know it's not just because we need to fill our schedule. These are things that God's desiring for his people to be doing. Praying for those who are in authority. Praying for those who are in need. Praying for us as a church that God's will would be done. So I want to invite you to make sure that you're a part of our prayer nights. I want to encourage you, no matter what night you come here, whether it's a prayer night or a Bible study night, you're going to walk away being blessed because God met you right where you're at. We see in the news today the strife and the contention, and now it just seems to be the norm. Instead of loving one another and thinking of others, it's all about me. It's all about who has the bigger stick and has more power. It's all about getting what is best for you and not caring if you hurt others to get it. So this is all the stuff that Habakkuk is seeing in verse 4. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. And this is a truth that I pray you would realize, because as we're praying for the evil that's happening, can I encourage you to start praying for salvation? Because we can't expect people who don't even have an interest in God to live according to God. So the first thing that we need to be praying for is their salvation. Because the moment that God gets a hold of their hearts, then he will also illuminate, renew their thinking, and allow them to see that the sin that is in their life. I don't know if you remember Rob Myers, who came from Plural Life Ministries. You guys remember him? They're the ministry that has outreaches to ravers, those who are going to the EDC raves that are held not only in Las Vegas, but Texas and a few other parts of the world. And I'll never forget during the time of going through their training so that Maurice and I could go with them on an outreach, he said, you're going to see things that you're going to need to put your head down. You're going to see things that, you know, obviously you don't want to see. But the reality is you and I, if we see it, don't judge because they don't know Jesus. How can we ever expect them to act right if they don't know the one and only true God? And this is what Habakkuk is saying here. The law is powerless. People aren't going to follow what God has given them because there's no interest in God in their life. Therefore, there is not going to be any righteous judgment going out. And again, his struggle with all of this, and here it is. He witnessed greedy people. He witnessed people abusing power. He witnessed people in idolatry, spiritual idolatry, even toward God. And he witnessed immorality. All of this was a day-to-day thing. And again, it sounds like we're talking about today. And so what did he do with all of this? It says that he cried out to the Lord. He prayed. Now I want us to see what God's response is. Verse 5 to verse 11. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. The horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than even wolves. Their charges charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold from the heap of earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes, and he transgresses. He commits offenses, ascribing this power to his God. And so here we see in this next section, now God actually responds to Habakkuk's prayer, his complaints. And can I also share this with you? That whenever you pray, God will always answer. How many of you know the answers he will give? Shout out the number if you think you know. One, somebody says three. Any other numbers? No? No takers? Come on. It's participation time. I believe the correct answer is three. You guys want to hear them?
Yes. No.
One is God will confirm what you're praying for. He'll answer a yes. Number two, it's a no. And number three is wait. What's the problem? We don't like two and three. We like number one. We love it when God answers our prayer and when he does it in our timetable. But we don't like waiting. And we don't like the answer no. And so God will always answer his prayer. And notice this, God tells Habakkuk, what you are about to see, what you're about to hear, you're not going to believe it. He says, I want you to look among the nations and watch. You're going to be amazed at who I'm about to use. And he says, I'm getting ready. Listen carefully. I'm getting ready to do something, even though you don't think I'm not doing anything. And though it may feel like the wicked are still prospering, I'm going to do something that you probably will question. And not, I want you to notice this. He says, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe. You know, I'm so thankful at times that God doesn't tell us what's ahead. Because if we did know and we didn't like it, guess what we would do? We would run. And even if God laid everything out, and can I just remind you that he already has? All you got to do is flip to the very last book of Revelation. Who wins? We do. Those who put their faith in Christ Jesus, we all win. And so why do we stress and freak out and fear over what's happening here? This place is not our home. We know we have the victory in Christ. We know that we're pilgrims passing through, and yet we still get so caught up that we sometimes also question and worry and fear and stress, can God really do this? And so even though God gets ready to respond and he says, what I'm about to do, you're not going to believe it. And I want to just share this with you as we see what's going on in our world. We need to remember that, again, it's a broken world. It's a world that has no interest in looking for God. So we therefore cannot expect people to want to live for God. So when we struggle with what's going on, here's what I want us to do. If you wonder the same thing or question in the same way as Habakkuk, do you think, or if you question that God has forgotten us, what we need to do is fall back on what we know. And that is, God is always in control. God has a plan for everything that he will do. And evildoers will be judged in his perfect timing. Though it may seem like people are getting away with things, they will never get away with it when they stand before God. And we also need to remember what Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says, that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. When God moves and when God speaks, he will fulfill all he says he will do. And you can rest in that tonight, beloved. Though, again, it's frustrating. Though we don't understand why God is being so patient. But can I just remind us that he's being patient with us? Because even though you and I may not be mass murderers or doing a bunch of craziness like the world, we still sin. We still make mistakes. And isn't it awesome to know that God extends mercy to us? Then we need to extend it to others. So now, what does God reveal to Habakkuk? Notice what he says in verse 6. For indeed, I am rising up the Chaldeans. Another word, another name for the Babylonians, who lived in the northern or the northwest of the Persian Gulf. And this nation made a rapid rise by conquering one nation at a time. What's interesting in verse 6, again, is it reflects God's sovereignty. To know that God was the one who made them rise up. It was God who allowed them to conquer over all of these other nations. It was God who used them for a specific reason. And that nation would become the strongest world power. And they, like I mentioned earlier, conquered over the Assyrians in Egypt. And then in the future, they would conquer over Judah. See, God was getting ready to use them. For what purpose? To punish his own people. This is hard to understand. But he goes on to say this: they were a bitter and hasty nation. In other words, not only were they cruel and violent people, but listen, you didn't want to end up in their hands. You didn't want to be one of their captives. And not only would they conquer over nations, but listen carefully, God said very clearly, they're going to spread, they're going to receive territory that would never should have belonged to them. But I'm going to allow it to happen. Verse 7, what else does he say about the Chaldeans? They are terrible and dreadful. Again, in other words, far from treating people with kindness. They paraded themselves and they had pride in the fact that they were skillful and powerful, conquering over all nations. Notice what it says about their horses, that they were powerful, swift like leopards and fierce like wolves. How many of you have ever seen, you know, the National Geographic shows where they slow motion show how fast leopards go? Man, they are quick. But then also how wolves attack. And it's not just one. They hunt in packs. They're smart animals. And this is who God's going to allow to conquer over his people. So not only are they terrible and dreadful, but they're able to travel a long distance. And he says they are as swift like eagles on the prey. They don't miss anything. From the heights down to the depths, they can get there as quickly as an eagle. Verse 9, then they all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. And of course, as the Babylonians captured many cities, again, too many to count, but they would take men, women, and children, and they would become their slaves. These guys were ruthless. It says here that they scoffed at kings. They mocked them. Whether kings or princes, they knew they had ultimate power over them. Notice this, God also revealed how they would capture cities. God showed Habakkuk their game plan. This is what they're going to do. They're going to heap up mounds of the earth. They're going to make these ramps to go up against these city walls and seize the city that way. This is a pretty bold move. Can you imagine having a wall that is 30 feet, 40 feet tall, and you every day are coming with a wheelbarrow and putting dirt against the wall to build a ramp to seize the city? That's pretty gutsy. Can you imagine how those in the city would just throw things and pour oil and flames and all other things to try and stop them, but yet they couldn't. They didn't have a bobcat. They didn't have an electric bulldozer. They did this to show they weren't scared of anybody. And so not only did they do these things, but listen, when all is said and done, who did they accredit their fame to? Their gods. They didn't even realize that it was the God of Israel who raised them up and allowed them to do the things that they were doing. So this is the nation that God is going to use, and he tells this all to his prophet. And now, from verse 12 to chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk's second complaint. I want us to read this. Are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die? O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of pure eyes to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously? And behold, your tongue when wicked devours a person more righteous than he. Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them. They took up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gathered them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice their net and burn incense to their dragnet, because by them they share, their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? Chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. So now as we look at this second complaint or second request from Habakkuk to the Lord, again, what we read in verse 5 came true. Habakkuk couldn't understand. He couldn't believe what he heard God say. And God told him that, what I'm about to do, you're not going to believe it. And sure enough, he questioned it. He says, are you not from everlasting? Verse 12, O Lord, my God, my Holy One. What does Habakkuk mean by this? Well, he's questioning God. How is it that you, being holy, is going to use this pagan nation like the Babylonians to accomplish your purpose and bring in judgment and correction to your own people? Do you really need them, Lord? How can you use this group of people to judge your own people? Notice verse 13. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon wickedness. Habakkuk's point here is that, Lord, I know you are displeased when you see evil or wickedness coming upon the innocent. So why would you use this evil nation to correct your people? Why would you go down that road? You know, Habakkuk knew that God's people weren't acting right. But again, to use a people such as the Babylonians was far worse. Their evil and their corruption and their cruelty, they would show no mercy, and yet God was going to use them to judge his people. This, again, was hard for him to understand. And I think it's hard for us, too. How many of you have heard of how many faith-based organizations are getting attacked and having major lawsuits? Have you heard about those? Started off with a baker who refused to bake a cake for a couple who were living the gay lifestyle, and they were sued. There were other businesses that have been attacked. And it's amazing to me how, for the world, that's okay. And I liken it to us in this example for today. You know, I don't think that any of us could go into a Nike store and demand Adidas, and when they don't give them to us, that we could actually sue them for it. I doubt that will ever happen. And I understand, and I'm not judging what other people do, but this is God's house. And we follow what God's word says. And when those issues come, we're not going to cave and we're not going to give in. We're going to stand for the word of God. That means even if we get sued for it. Because this is God's house. I don't determine the rules. He does. And it amazes me, and I believe this is where Habakkuk is thinking, Lord, why would you go down that road and allow this to happen? Why would you give evil people the ability to judge your people? Why would you go down that road? And I know for a fact, as hard as it is, I know that God is not pleased when evilness is happening. It breaks his heart when he sees innocent people getting hurt. But this is where, whenever things go wrong, God has the ability to redeem them. And I don't understand it at times. And I think if we were to stop and not look at the world, but now let's hit areas that are closer to home. What about those loved ones that we know who are constantly battling with illness, cancer? You guys have prayed for our own family. Lord, why would you allow my nephew to lose his wife at such a young age? And now he has three little boys to raise. Why would you allow? Many people were praying. How about those who are battling with constant pain? There are many people in this body who have this Lyme's disease. And every time I call a few people, it breaks my heart because they say, I'm in so much pain. These are more closer home hitting for us. And what is it that God's going to do through it? I still don't know. But I do know this, that even though it's illness, even though it feels like the wickedness around us is prospering more than those who are doing God's will, all I know is the end, they're going to stand before God. And when they stand before God, God will deal with them. And what I also want us to understand, that this would have never happened if God's people were being obedient to him. If God's people would have walked in obedience to the things that he was asking of them, none of this would have ever happened. And I find it interesting that even as Habakkuk's heart is pure before the Lord, can I remind us of this? Whenever we are in the wrong, God can use whatever means he wants to correct us. And we cannot complain about the kind of discipline God uses on us. God has the ability to do it any way he desires. And it's very clear in the scriptures that he's used pagan kings to accomplish his will. Don't always understand it, but his will prevail. His plan will always come to pass. And so, not only does Habakkuk have an issue and is struggling with what he's hearing, he then gives the picture of God's people being like fish that are caught by men. Can I tell you a little fish story? You guys are going to think I'm lying, but this is a true story. At our family camp, we had a fishing derby. And I went around and I asked everybody who's going fishing. And there was not any takers. So in the pocket, a medal. All I got to do is just catch one fish. Just one. We went out to Starvation Reservoir. And it was a beautiful day. Was out there fishing for about 2.5 hours and didn't catch a thing. Emmanuel, who I was fishing with, and his son, we started spreading out along the shore there, and we lost sight of each other. And I went back to the very first spot that we went fishing, and I cast my line, and boom, I hooked a largemouth bass. Now, I'm going to tell you how big it was, okay? And this is honest truth. I got a picture of it. It's about this big. Okay? Honest truth. I caught it. I'm like, cool. Took it off my hook. And I set it on the ground next to a rock so that it wouldn't flop. About this far away from the water. Went back. About 5 minutes later, again, I cast my line, boom, hooked another one. This one was probably about this big, a little bit smaller. So I'm all like, hey, and there's nobody there. So I left my stuff there, two fish behind a rock. I went, hey, Emmanuel, come back over here, man. I'm catching fish, like big ones. I come back and my fish are gone. It's like, you liar. And I told the story to everybody. Oh, yeah, that's a good fishing story. But I got pictures of it. I'll show you. But we catch fish that are alive, and they become a meal. And this is what you're going to allow this pagan nation to do to your people, God. Catch them and have them flop around. Have them on dry ground when they should be living. And this is what you're going to allow another nation to do to your people. Now, I'm not the type of fisherman that is cruel. If I catch them, I put them back. That's just me. But there's times when I've had to pull it out of the water, and because the hook's so far in that the time I tried taking it out that I actually kill and hurt the fish. I'm not that type of person. But I also know it's a good visual for us because we're not meant to flop around. We're not meant to be caught by the things of this world like a hook. We're meant to be able to understand and know. I know what's on that hook. And I know who my God is. So I'm not going to bump up against. I'm not going to try and taste it. I'm not going to try and steal it off of the hook. I'm going to stay far away from the hook. And I hope and pray that that would be our heart. Because if you keep your eyes centered on the things that are happening, then you too can start questioning, God, where are you? And if we question, I hope and pray that we would come back to this truth. It is okay to question. But after you're done questioning, sit in silence until God can speak to you to let you know what the answer is. And I hope that we would see this because, again, after all the things that he said, the Babylonians would conquer. God would use them to judge his people. They would be cruel. They would mistreat them. They would do all of these things, and they would boast as if it's all of them. And after, he says, how long are you going to let this happen? Are you going to continue to let them capture more and more people? But in chapter 2, verse 1, after his complaint is done, Habakkuk now surrenders his complaints, and now he's willing to wait to hear and to see what God is getting ready to do. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and I will answer when I'm corrected. Did you guys catch that? All of this complaining and all of this questioning, he says, I'm done. But I want to be in this amazing position to not only hear God's voice, but to then receive correction. That's humility. And one of the things that I want to point out is this rampart was located on a watchtower. It was a watchtower located on a city wall. And the purpose of this watchtower was to see at a great distance if enemies were coming or if there was a messenger coming from a great distance. And what this comment that Habakkuk made was a usual comment that a prophet would make because the watchtower was the best position to see all things. It was the highest position, and it was the position especially for the prophet to be as close to God as possible so that he could hear his voice. And one of the things that I think is amazing is that when Habakkuk stopped complaining, when he stopped looking around and he began to look up, this is where his questioning would then turn into faith. And I pray that tonight we would see this and walk away with this key point. When we are frustrated or upset or angry because of the injustice and the corruption that's going on, it is okay to question. It is okay to cry out to the Lord. When we do this, again, we battle correctly. We cannot battle the evil that's going on in this world in our flesh, because then we will stoop down to that level and we ourselves will become just like them. The most important thing that we can do is give it to the Lord. And as ugly as it seems to be, we need to fall back and understand that God is still in control. We need to flip back to the end of the page in Revelation and understand that God wins. We need to flip to Psalm 46, where it says that God would be our ever-present help in time of need. We need to flip back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. See, we may not always understand what God is doing, but again, remember, beloved, our understanding is not required. Our trust is. Amen. That's where we need to rest in. And the last thing is, after we're done praying, find the best position, the best place to be, so that you can hear from God and watch what he will do. This is the heart that we need to have today, because the honest truth is it's going to get darker. The honest truth, we're going to see more attacks coming. The honest truth, Jesus is coming soon. And we need to stand. And we need to stand for the Lord. And we do it through prayer. We do it through holding on to his promises and trusting him to see us through. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for tonight. And I do want to ask that you would continue to show us and teach us, Lord, how we too can fight the darkness that is around us in a way that brings you honor and glory. And tonight, as we do, or as we just covered these portions of Scripture, again, speak to our heart through them. There may be other struggles and troubles that people are going through right now. God, meet them right where they're at. And I pray that tonight's message would have given them hope. And I know that as we continue to go through this study, the next two are going to, again, open up our eyes for us to see how we can continue to trust in you. And as we believe in you, as we surrender all that we struggle with into your hands, those doubts will turn into faith, and our faith will draw us to worshiping you, to praising you. And so, Father, please bless your people tonight. May we continue just to have our hearts open as we worship you. And Lord, again, from beginning to end, no matter what takes place, you are always in control. And we thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.